Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. Oh, it's the Christmas special, as is cued by the music. This is the Flash After Show. It's the world finale called Running to Stand Still. And guys, the gang's all here. Let's do some quick intros before we start.
This is awesome. Sorry. Oh, hey, I'm Michael Andrew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael E-A-L.
Awesome. Jeffrey Masters, I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. T-A-R-I-J-A-Y.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Awesome, and we have a special guest. It's Paul Ashton, friend of the show.
Hey guys, how are you? I'm Paul. It's good to be here. It's good to be back on AfterBuzz TV. Had a bit of a, from one of these shows, it's been like a couple of years.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Well, thanks for requesting this intro song. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Get in the spirit. You can find me on Twitter at Captain Pash. That's C-A-P-T-A-I-N-P-A-S-H. Paul Ashton, Pashton, awesome. Pash. That's where that comes
from. Yeah, so Paul is a former host. He's a fan of The Flash. And you also directed Daniel Panabaker in a movie, right?
I did. That's another reason why I'm here. I directed a feature film called This Isn't Funny that Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos are producers on.
Oh, we know them.
Yeah, you might have heard of those. And Danielle, who's an old friend of mine, does a hilarious cameo in it. Just did us a favor and came and worked with us for a day.
Oh my God.
And so we were talking, and I hadn't been on this show before, so I thought it was a great way to say to any of the you know, Danielle Panabaker fans out there, this is a movie that she's in, and Kevin and Maria produced it. It's called This Isn't Funny. It's about a female stand-up comedian with anxiety disorder. And it's sort of a rom-com. There's a lot of stand-up through it. There's also some, you know, serious stuff, but it's basically a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And where can people see that?
iTunes. Go to iTunes right now and just search
right
this.
Now.
Right now. Well, not right now, in about 45 minutes from now. and just search This Isn't Funny, and you'll find it. We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can hit me or Katie, my partner in crime, who co-wrote it and stars in it.
As a fan of hers and as a fan of yours, I can give my ringing endorsement. The movie is amazing, and she does have a great cameo. You did such an excellent job with it.
Thanks.
I watched it multiple times, and it's really good.
Actually, Roxy was like at one of the very first screenings and helped us with notes and everything, so you had a big part in it, getting it to where it was as well.
Not a big part, but I'm very impressed by it. It's a really great movie. You guys should definitely check it out, especially you Flash fans.
Yes, go see Danielle.
Totally. And speaking of Danielle, we don't want to make any promises we can't keep, so we're going to make like a half promise, like an 89% promise. Danielle might call into the show tonight.
It will be a Hanukkah miracle.
So, I mean, it's amazing. It's one, you said, Roxy, it's 1 year to the day.
Okay, how strange is that? I woke up this morning and I remembered that a year ago, as of today, Jeff and I actually interviewed Danielle Panabaker on AfterBuzz TV for a Spotlight On. We did a long form interview with her. We talked about Flash and everything else she's been involved in. That was 1 year ago today. So, this is like a very special anniversary episode.
Right. Yeah. So, well, what we know is that right now she's in Vancouver shooting late night. They're trying to finish the day. It's in a warehouse. It's raining. She's going to try and get a break to call in to say hello. But if she doesn't, we know that she's thinking about AfterBuzz anyway. And she just wanted to support the show and the film. And she's amazing like that. So
that's awesome.
Nice.
Awesome.
I hear she threatened the director. Like, if you don't let me out on time to call AfterBuzz, I'm walking. Just saying. Heard that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that, but that's awesome.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we're going to keep our fingers crossed from that. Guys, last week it was the crossover episode that we saw. We weren't together for the part two of the crossover. What do everybody think about that?
About the Arrow side of it?
Yes. Because it was a continuation of the story.
I thought that the first episode was stronger than the second one, so I was really glad that we were here to break it down on this show, but I still liked a lot of parts of the second episode, and it leaves me having questions for Team Arrow over there.
I am on the other side of that, where I felt like the Arrow side had it was allowed to have a little more emotional, like, pauses, I'd say. Because, like, the Flash side is all about the, like, fun, raucousness of it, and so they got to have their fun, and then the Arrow side was allowed to kind of take their time for some thought and like, set up the next series. So I thought that was really interesting.
I agree with both of you. I more so agree with Tari, only because I like the emotional part, and I really enjoyed, and I thought we were going to see more of it in today's Flash episode about the going through time, even though they kind of mentioned him going through the time stream, and the fact that he did it again.
Him ghosting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when he went back, and like, after witnessing like mass death of like all the other heroes, and I was expecting them to talk about it more in this episode of The Flash. I thought it was going to lead into this. Like, oh, he went back in time, so he's probably going to do something with Zoom.
We already had too many tears tonight, though. It was like, we can't mess with that. Yeah. Everybody's crying on set today.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. It was good.
I mean, I agree with Roxy that, for me, part one was stronger. Yeah. I don't want to nitpick, but part two's fight scenes, I don't know if they were, like, edited poor than what we usually see, but it's a lot of like Arrow gets the staff taken from his arm, he like looks back at Barry because Barry is yelling, and while he's looking back, like, the staff is taken from him, and there's just a lot of like stuff that felt slow to me and felt like they were acting.
Jeff, I think it's just because you knew that they were going to negate any performance they gave after we saw Barry ghost. So I was in the same boat as you. Like, it seemed like it was taking longer because we knew they were going to eliminate however many minutes it was until we got him to go back in time.
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh, you just did that. I'm going to be nitpicky on it because I'm like, why are you showing me this? We're going to go back. But once we did go back, I thought that the rest of the episode kicked butt.
Right.
But I think tonight's episode was the best maybe of all three. I really love tonight's episode.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. Also, who was expecting to see the Weather Wizard come back?
Not me. Captain Cold and Heat Wave, I always expect to kind of come back.
Yeah.
But Weather Wizard, that was a surprise. That was cool.
Because he was in the first episode, right?
Midway through the
season.
His
brother was the guy.
Mm-hmm. We saw the Martin brothers in the first episode, but it was when we saw Captain Cold break them out of that truck.
Right.
That we saw. Yeah. Martin last, I think.
Yeah.
And he's got revenge on the brain, right? He's trying to avenge the death of his bro, so...
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And just, like, how much fun is it to see the Weather Wizard and Trickster and Captain Cold together?
Yeah. What are we calling this trio?
Rogues Gallery.
I mean, yeah, they're part of the Rogues Gallery.
Yeah, but they've broken off. They're just the three of them, so...
Except the one thing that got me in the episode is that Snart kind of, like, got away, like... He came and sold him out a little bit and let Barry know, kind of was a double agent. But
right.
Then he wasn't there at the end. He just, like, he kind of, like, seemed to... We didn't see him again, right?
Right. No. I think it was that's the send-off. They needed a reason to get him free again to go do the League of...
The Legend of
Tomorrow.
The League of Tomorrow.
So, to go Legend of Tomorrow, but they let him go, and he was still... They still kept his badassery, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why he didn't fully help, but he's still kind of a hero, so he's still questionable, and that's probably an arc they're going to do in that show.
Yeah. I think they played his character perfect in tonight's episode. It was enough, like, I care about you, Flash, and I'm not going to just be part of murdering you, but it also was like, I'm not going to help you because I am not a hero yet. Mm-hmm. And we know eventually we're going to have to get him to that hero status on Legends of Tomorrow if he's going to be working with Hawkgirl, Hawkman, etc. But that was really, really cool to see him at least jump in a little bit to help Barry tonight. I was impressed.
And I liked his line. He said he was the secret Santa.
Yeah, and ho ho, like, how many amazing Christmas puns were there?
Yeah.
How many
yeah,
times could someone say Merry Christmas like an evil, evil person?
Yeah. It was kind of like a horror movie in tonight. Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
I know, Paul, I saw you giggling when Trickster was in the Santa costume.
Yes. Yeah, that, like, when he pulled down the beard.
Yeah, like, evil grin.
Yeah, but you kind of sounded like Trickster. Like, you and Trickster were both laughing together, and I was like, oh my god, is Paul evil?
I think you could have called the episode 100 Kids, 100 Bombs.
that actually would have worked. Yeah, yeah. That would have been good.
It was pretty dark. I enjoyed it.
Oh my god. Yes, but Trickster is just like singing on TV. Like, that's the villain that I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cool. That scene was everything.
And just, sorry, he's always been a cheesy character, yeah, but having the amped up Christmas aspect, it was just like the most fun villain for me to watch all season.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I thought he was super cheesy, but he balances his cheese with, it just feels so natural. His cheesiness mm-hmm. feels authentic. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I just really, there wasn't a moment where he did something extra over the top and I was like, all right, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the last week's Flash, where there were a few moments where we were talking about the dialogue, where we were like, all right, that's kind of, it's a little iffy. Like, everything he said was over the top, but it still felt, I still felt it.
Right. Well, because I feel like I feel like he commits to it really hard, mm-hmm. to where, like, essentially, even if his, the line itself is like super cheesy, he finds a way to make it to where you're like, yeah, that's exactly what that character would do.
I would expect nothing less because he is the most ridiculously talented, well-trained Mark Hamill that there's ever been. So, you know,
the most trained Mark Hamill.
Yeah. There's an untrained Mark Hamill out there.
A lot of them, apparently.
Yeah. Listening. That's so sad.
Let me have that one. Just give it to me. I just think he's brilliantly talented. So I think he can make anything sound pretty good coming out of his mouth. And he, like you guys said, he nailed it. The cheese felt like, what's less than cheese?
Yeah, I think it's been really apparent the actors chocolate? Who can handle the
brie, sensual chocolate.
They can handle the size of it. What? It's big. They can, you know, he can handle the size.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't know what we were talking about for a second when you said that. I was like, wait, what?
Okay, it's a family show. The,
yeah.
No, he can handle it, but also he's been practicing. He's been the Trickster on the cartoons for years, right?
Joker. He's been the Joker, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
similar lines.
It feels like an homage to the Joker.
Absolutely.
Right.
And his face is so wizened, you know, it's like so, like, you know, like it's like a mask. He's an old guy now, you know what I mean? And they've obviously accentuated with makeup.
Right, mm-hmm. It's hard to recognize him at first, almost.
Yeah, so...
And that haircut.
It's cool.
Yeah, and I loved watching the juxtaposition of him with Weather Wizard, because Weather Wizard was so different and almost seemingly normal, but then just, like, that classic muhahaha villain. So that was cool to watch them work off each other.
And I really appreciated that they made them fighting together, the three of them. Because if you get three people like that together, they're not going to compromise, you know?
Right.
They're not going to shake hands and, like, skip off into the sunset.
Yeah,
the power dynamic continually shifts. Who's the middleman? Who's the broker? Who's about to fight? Like, that's kind of... And then the Trickster's brokering the peace all of a sudden. And so that's just... That's hilarious.
I also love that we got our... I feel like this is the first, like, let's kill the Flash specific episode. Like, usually it's someone's doing something and the Flash has to stop them, or someone is sent to the Flash in order to fulfill some kind of plan. But this is the first time where they're like, Flash is our enemy. We hate him. And I love that aspect, mostly because it's super comic booky.
And what's so crazy about that, which we will talk more about later, is that we actually find out, even though all season we thought Let's Kill the Flash was Zoom's plan, we actually find out that wasn't what Zoom was doing. So even though this was our first Let's Kill the Flash episode, it was actually our first Let's Not Kill the Flash episode, too.
Right.
Actually, if they weren't trying to kill the Flash, like if the Weather Wizard wasn't trying to kill the Flash, they probably would have got Captain Cold on their side.
What would he have broken them out to do that?
No, just like, hey, we're going to rob a bank. We need your help. And then when the Flash comes, then kill him. But if he had a different motivation, Captain Cold probably would have helped.
Yeah.
But the sheer fact that they're going to kill Barry, he was like, I kind of like them now.
They have a deal.
Yeah.
They kind of have a deal together.
And there's some warm heart underneath that ice cold heart.
Cheese.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Ice cold top cheese.
Okay, guys, we have to talk about it.
Yes.
We have to talk about Mr. Jiggle Wiggle.
Do we?
I just want to, before we comment, before we give our opinion on this, we just need to specify that what ended up happening was that the trickster put Mr. Jiggle Wiggle in the reflection of the camera so when they were shooting, it'd see it in his eye. And this is a teddy bear that was made only in Central City.
One of the factories was in Central City.
One of the factories was in Central City. And they positioned that to be reflected because they knew the Flash would see the reflection. That's what happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just so interesting because this was a typical teddy bear. It's not like this was a very distinct doll that's like, I would remember, oh, my dad got this for me back in the day, like a pageant Barbie or whatever those things are. It was a very average teddy bear.
I took it, the way it looked, I guess, but I took it that it was one of like, it was like a Teddy Ruxpin. Right. Something like one of those like authentic, like you, everyone had a Teddy Ruxpin type of old school toy. So that's what I took it as.
That's true. I guess I'm just spoiled these days. Like toys now are so different looking. Like, it's just kind of a typical teddy bear.
But I get that like it's toys and this trickster kind of like fits the motif. But why couldn't it have been like a sign that they read from backwards? And it wasn't like anything specific to Central City. It was just like Bear Hollow Road. And you're like, oh, Bear Hollow, of course. You know, it just, it felt like a little bit of like a writer writing this.
Because I really think they want to get us to start thinking about Patty, who says that her dad used to buy things for her, and then Tom Cavanaugh, who says that he used to buy this teddy bear for his daughter, and like I think that they're trying to mess with us.
There was definitely something there.
Some connection between Jesse and Patty and the dads, and...
I wrote Patty is Harry's daughter. Just like spontaneously when she was about to say that, I was like, hang on, well, I don't know why that makes sense.
Because they're the same age.
Because we saw her daughter... But is it
parallel
Earth
universes?
Earth One. That's what I started thinking.
I don't even know if he necessarily if there's necessarily relation there, but I do think that maybe at some point Harry will see Patty in the same way he sees Jesse, like save her, protect her. Something's going on where they wanted our brains to be our wheels to be turning about that.
I hope so, because if not, it's a really big hope that the trickster had that they would see this like reflection.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long
yeah, and that's a massive plot point that is like banking on the fact that like hopefully he'll see our reflection.
Well, I don't know.
I think it doesn't bother you.
Well, I mean, the Flash has, and it's kind of common knowledge that the Flash has a team behind him, and I think that the clue was specific enough to where he figured the Flash would get it, but the police wouldn't get it as fast. So then that way you're essentially hitting your target demographic without other interference.
My question was, why couldn't the Flash run out of that?
The dreidels.
Run out of the warehouse with her. Like, why did he say...
He was surrounded by the dreidels.
By the bombs? He could just, like... run out before they blew up.
Because
they're all like
so if you touch them, they blow up.
Yeah, probably
thing?
One of the yeah.
Yet he's very fast.
Yeah, I would have thought like wouldn't his like speed beat the like speed of combustion?
I'll give them this one.
That's a good point.
This wasn't the qualm that I had in terms of logistics in this episode. I had a bigger magnet issue later on.
Oh, the magnet. Yeah,
yeah, we'll talk about that.
All right, we'll
but
get to
for
the,
this one,
was...
I thought it was smart. He propellered arms out of there. But I love that that Patty looks at him and says, I'm seeing somebody.
Yeah.
Says me too. Yeah. Yes, I die for them.
Are we considering that a new power? Because he was, in essence, flying.
No.
I mean, he's always been able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, just did it downwards as opposed to towards his enemy.
Right.
I thought that the bombs were going to separate when he did that. Like, I thought he was going to windmill them away.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do that, too. But,
also,
you know,
why didn't he do
like
that
flying?
To chase the weather? Okay, he can't do it fast enough, I guess.
Right.
To
chase Weather Wizard? Yeah, he can't fly like Weather Wizard can, I guess.
Although
that was a new power we saw him do with chasing Weather
Wizard.
That
was pretty
awesome. That was cool watching him go up and down the buildings and then jump off the propeller. Like,
oh yeah,
that was kind of awesome.
I loved watching that.
That was dangerous. When he did that, I was like, "What are you doing, Barry? Just clear the why are you gonna jump on a propeller? Because if you miss it, there goes your leg." Like, I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, I get that.
Barry, don't hold back.
Yeah, just run under it, man. You don't need to jump the helicopter.
But it's funny what science fiction elements you can accept and others don't feel okay.
Right.
So the magnets.
Cool with flying, not cool with magnets.
I know.
I guess it's when it's explained enough? It's set up enough?
I guess. Like the magnet scene, they kind of had that back and forth for a second that threw me off. Like, you know what I mean, man? And I was like,
Yeah, they're all connected.
Yeah. For me, I don't need an explanation, but I need consistency. Like, if he got his way out of the trap once the same way, like, I need him to be able to bring that power back.
Yeah. Right, whatever laws of physics you establish, make them
consistent. Yeah. Right, yeah. That works. I mean, that's the whole thing about science fiction, is establishing rules and then being able to justify them within the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's why the bomb thing is so hard, because even their, like, science mumbo-jumbo was like, not as sound as you would want it to be.
Yeah. Right.
Like, listen, guys, we just need a way out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why they did that where it was 100 kids. Like, they could have just made it one, and I feel like Barry still would have not risked the one, and then they just sent the one bomb up. Like, all they had to do was find the one bomb. Why did they make it 100 so they had to explain that to us?
It would have been 52 kids. Just to keep it continuity.
Right. It's so weird to me.
I think it's just that, like, realistically, how many, like, presents could they have wrapped, and then how many could they have given to children?
Yeah, but don't you think Barry would have done the exact same thing if they said, there's one kid out there that has this bomb?
Yeah, it's just 10xing it. It's just like, found one. It just makes it more.
Yeah, but when they did that, then they had to explain the whole frickin' magnet thing.
Yeah.
Which was like, okay, what if the person lived way outside the city? Is the magnet gonna go? They've been driving. That was just the strangest thing to me. So strange.
The way they explained it was a little bit out of my, like, science understanding, too. That, like, you're reversing the polarity of one bomb and it'll attract 100 bombs.
That's what they were banking on. Yeah. They're banking on us to be like, huh?
I mean, yeah.
All right.
The only thing that I could think of to, like, make it make sense is if once it hit the singularity, essentially anything with a similar property that resonates at the same wavelength.
Whoa, what are you talking about,
bro? I know. I'm getting way sciencey.
But nothing else but the bombs was at that same wavelength and had the same
bunch of forks in, like...
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
Like, I was expecting maybe if they're going to do that, a refrigerator, like, something. Like, just start going. But no. I was picturing Wizard of Oz moment here. Everything's going up. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen.
I would have liked to see that.
It would have been quite funny.
Yeah.
This is like the other fridge.
I didn't expect this. No, we ruined the city. Everything goes up and explodes.
Like the bubbles off the Christmas trees.
Yeah. The ornaments. Did you call them bubbles? I love it.
Bubbles. Yeah, ornaments, whatever. different language.
So when he was given the proposition, this waving of scales of saving the 100 kids or letting us kill you, I wanted the team to chime in his ear and be like, yo, we can figure this out. Like, don't give up.
They left him hanging.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything until they were like, we've got it. I was thinking, like, he's getting his butt kicked on the ground. Say something motivational, like, hang in a little longer, Bear. You got this.
I know, yeah, I noticed that too. I think it was just silent. Maybe they've done it so often together. They read each other. You know, they fought so many villains that when it came down to it, they were just like, all right, don't worry, I got you.
Yeah.
You
know, they have a certain amount of trust.
I think also there's only a certain amount of real estate in the show, right? And they had to explain the magnets.
They definitely taped a couple minutes of them talking to him, and then were like, we don't have time for this. Yeah. We got to cut this.
The magnets.
Yeah.
The singularity.
Stick with that, yeah. That's the move.
It was just like a weird scene for me to see the Flash getting beaten up and him not sticking up for himself.
Mm. Yeah, but it's so interesting that the last time we saw him in the town, he was getting Raggedy Ann'd around, and this time he's getting his butt kicked. I'm like, all right, this kid is screwed in this city right now. Nobody thinks he can fight back.
Take some Krav Maga classes.
And also the wand got built really fast again, right?
Yeah.
I think they had it from last time still.
Okay.
No, they
built it from scratch.
Right.
Right?
Is that what they were saying? Like, because he had to get the help.
Yeah.
And... yeah.
How many times that they've created something like this, though? I think Cisco's now like bippity boppity boop.
Bippity boppity boop.
We just assumed that he's going to do it. There was no race against time with that. That could have been another element.
Like, he also got help, though. He also got help from
Jay and Caitlin. Yeah.
Speaking of Caitlin, I think she's on the phone.
Oh, we're getting her on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Danielle.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wrapped for the day, so I'm very happy about that.
Oh, wow. Thank you for calling. The whole Flash After Show is here.
Of course. My pleasure.
Do you know that today is your one-year anniversary of being at AfterBuzz TV for your first time?
I did not know that, but that's amazing.
Well, happy one-year anniversary. We're excited to have you back.
Well, thank you. You guys, too. I'm glad we could all share this.
Of course. I don't know if you know what show or episode aired today, but it's the one where you got to kiss Jay Garrick.
I, of course, know what episode aired tonight. Are you kidding?
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's our mid-season finale, so it was a big one.
Yeah, it was a good one. We loved it. We loved having Mark Hamill back.
Oh, good.
Did you have a scene
He's
with him?
He's so wonderful. I don't have any scenes with him. I didn't have any scenes with him, but I did get a chance to meet him. And he was generous enough to have t-shirts made for the crew, so he was just such a gem. It was great to have him back.
Wait, what do you mean t-shirts made? What are on these t-shirts?
I mean, I have like a whole wardrobe of Flash t-shirts just from like various departments, from the special effects department and the stunt department and that sort of thing. And he had shirts made. They're black, and I think it's about all three bad guys in tonight's episode. They're awesome.
Wow.
That's so funny. So that's like a common thing that people are doing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's common. I think we're lucky on our show that people have been so generous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Nice.
I want to get back to what Jeff said about your kiss with Jay Garrick. I feel like this was a long time coming, but it's a huge character arc for you to move on from your fiancé. Did you feel like this was too quick? Did you feel like it was just enough time, or how did you feel about it all?
I mean, those are definitely conversations that I had with our writers, just in terms of, you know, how we're going to pay respect to the relationship with Ronnie. And I think that's why it was nice that it took so long for them to finally take that first step and to kiss each other. So it's nice. I love Teddy, who plays Jay Garrick, so it's been fun to work with him.
It's also really sweetly done. Mm-hmm. Like, the mistletoe was really cute, and the running jokes about the, like, him not knowing, you know, the Earth One.
What's Christmas?
Yeah, no, it's really... We actually paused at one point to try and work out, hang on, they don't have Christmas, and then the next line, we were like, it explained it. It was funny.
Okay, but I was totally fooled.
I'm glad the show keeps you on your toes.
I would have given the same response you did both times, the mistletoe and the Christmas. I was like, how do I explain this on my Earth? And so I was with you. We're very gullible, I guess.
Except Caitlin obviously uses way bigger words than I would ever be able to pull out of a hat.
There are some big ones.
She's describing mistletoe and that sort of thing.
Have you adopted some of her vocabulary in your life?
I don't think so. I think her, you know, sort of scientific doctor vocabulary is very occasion specific, and fortunately I don't have much of a use in my everyday life to talk about a carotid artery. You never know.
And
now
singularities.
Now I at least know how to say it correctly.
Amazing. And what were you shooting tonight, Danielle?
I can't say, but it's going to be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
While we're talking about things you can't say, when are we going to see Killer Frost?
Oh, I was going to ask that.
Again, I can't say. Obviously, I'm extremely excited about it. I love that they released that image a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I think this season they're really focusing on the character, on Cisco's character and his vibing abilities, so... I'm not sure it'll be anytime soon.
We love seeing Vibe, and, like, you're next, though. You know, he's out of the way.
Oh, well, I hope so. Fingers crossed. You never know. See what happens, what twists and turns the season takes.
And, Danielle, you've just had a huge day. You did a huge day yesterday. I mean, you're working for, like, what, 14 hours. How do you like, power up and get through it? What do you do to get through those huge days?
You're right. Today was a doozy. I think I've been at work since 6.
Wow.
Power naps, to be totally honest. I take naps at lunch, and we listen to a lot of music. I feel like that helps sort of keep everybody's moods and spirits up as well.
Good.
I remember last time you told us about the hand warmers that you put in your shoes too, because it gets really cold there.
Everywhere. I had them taped around my body today, like around my kidneys, around my back, everywhere to keep me warm.
Wow.
And of course, Danielle, I'm just going to sneak in and say part of the reason I was here was to cross-promote your amazing and hilarious cameo in This Isn't Fun, and we talked about it at the beginning of the episode, and really excited to share it with your fans and tell them they can find it on iTunes. And I wanted to say thank you so much for doing it and being such a legend.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so nice to get to do something that's a little bit different and definitely not a character you would ever see me play. So she's very different than Caitlin Snow. So fans of The Flash might want to tune in and check her out.
You're the best. You're the best. Thanks, Danielle.
Well, Danielle, we know you had a really long day. We really appreciate you joining us.
Of course. My pleasure. I'm glad you guys are tuning in and hopefully still enjoying the show.
Loving it. Favorite show on TV every single week.
All right, we'll talk to you again in one more year.
I'm excited to see tonight's episode. I haven't seen it yet.
That's great. All right, thanks, Danielle.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
You too. Bye.
What a special anniversary.
That was awesome.
So good.
She's so sweet.
Yeah, I know.
That is pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing.
That she called in?
Yeah, I mean, that's like a huge day.
Well, that shows how much she cares about you, too, and how much she obviously respects you, especially after that movie, I'm sure.
I think also the show, I think she's just like, she's a really great ambassador for whatever she does, Danielle. Like, she's like super professional. She cares about, like, she's really invested. People love to work with her for that reason, so yeah. I mean, that's why I wanted to work with her,
Right, she talked about the vocabulary being different, but when she came in, I just remember thinking how similar she seemed, just very sweet and endearing and, like, kind of, like, happy-go-lucky kind of girl, so she reminds me of her character a little bit.
Totally. Do we think that we're going to see more of Caitlin J. Garrick happening?
I really, as much as I was hesitant at first, I really hope so, because I think that they handled it so tastefully in the end with the, like, kind of awkward, middle school-y, like, do we, don't we, ooh, this is intimidating moment, and then the mistletoe, all of it. I think he's a good fit for her. He seems like such a gentleman, and she's somebody who needs that, like, somebody who isn't just, like, a mean dude.
So. Yeah.
Is it going to end up hurting her, though? Because if he goes back to...
That's what I was thinking.
Like, is there more tragedy in Caitlin's future is the question.
Okay, good.
Yes, it's drama. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that we don't give enough credit to how much power the fans have of the show. And I think if people start writing in how much they love Teddy and they love what he's doing on the show, I bet he'll stick around longer. Mm-hmm. And the longer he sticks around, the less hurt she gets. So the bottom line is, if you care about Caitlin Snow at all, then you will tweet about Teddy staying on the show.
And I don't want to argue semantics. However, Danielle did say that the kiss was their first step. Mm. So I wonder, like, what is, like, step 8, 9, and 10?
Well, I think it also has to be in stages, because she can't move too fast. Mm. Although, like, people, I mean, imagine, like, the fans might not love it if she moves too fast on from Ronnie. You know, like, you gotta mourn. Right. You gotta, or it's seen
it's a fine
as,
dance, yeah.
Right.
You know what it could be? It could be she might get attached to Jay, and then they have a good love affair. Then Jay dies by Zoom. Hence, she becomes Killer Frost, scorned by love.
I still think Killer Frost is an E2 thing.
I know. I'm just saying. I mean, if it would be from this Earth, I think that would be the catalyst, but I'm going to go...
She turns evil?
I mean, I don't think she turns... I think there's going to be something in her where it just... She just snaps. Like, that's two loves. Killed.
I hate seeing women turn evil on any show because they get their heart broken. Though I really hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, well, that's how Killer Frost.
If that's the reason,
Frost.
if that's the reason you hate it,
the catalyst.
That's true to the material.
Yes. Yeah. That's how Killer Frost. Killer Frost. She's a
But I know what you mean. Like scorned.
And I'm like, people get their heart broken all the time, and it's like only women on screen that we see.
Right. It's a bit of a comic book world.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was going to happen, if she was going to be somebody who turned angry after a loss, it would have happened after Ronnie, because she really loved him.
Yeah. And although I know that losing a loved one is never obviously easy, I don't need to say that, but losing the same loved one twice, I kind of think is easier.
You think it would get easier? I think it would get harder.
I think it's like she already mourned him, and she already got over it.
Oh, you're talking about losing Ronnie twice?
Yeah, losing Ronnie
twice. Oh, I thought you meant like if she was to lose Jay Garrick, like another lover.
No, I meant like the second time getting over Ronnie, I would like argue was easier than the first time.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Though I imagine the second hope was more devastating. To me, I think it would be more devastating because like losing them once, you're like, all right, that's a thing that happened. And then you get this hope that they're going to be with you forever because they come back in your life. And then they, get sucked up into a hole and stuff.
You also probably appreciate them more that second time, so the loss is greater.
Yeah. Mm. And speaking of people who lose loved ones, we finally found Patty Spivot's backstory tonight.
Yeah.
Good old Patty.
Roxy seems unsatisfied.
It's not that I'm unsatisfied. I'm so skeptical of her. And I just keep saying, and I know this seems crazy, but because I love her and Barry, and if I just let myself love them, then I get completely swept away. But then I remind myself, you think she's evil at her core. You think that she's from Earth 2, Roxy.
Well,
she's
do?
Not who she says she is.
She does have a gun that could stop the Flash, shockingly, out of nowhere.
Yeah, where did that come from?
And she figured out the thing about the teddy bear really, really quick, quicker than anybody else. I'm telling you, how did you get there so fast? Are you some sort of speedster like Jesse Quick? Like Wells's daughter.
Yeah, the way that she said, "Oh, I saw it in the teddy bear's eye." Yeah. It was like it was a bit of a line or something. It's like she was she listening in, or
and if Flash had not been there, she would have murdered Martin. Period. Just right. saying, I still have weird vibes about her.
I don't Interesting.
Know. No, right? You know, I think we're both on the same though. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's because we're like. Enamored with Patty, and she's so damn adorable.
She is.
But no, she's not. I can't see it. No.
And she's officially the girlfriend now.
Yeah.
We're using labels, baby.
That last scene was so cute with them. She comes in with the sweater, and she's like, I do want to finally tell you. He's like, that's the best present. And I was like, oh my God, Barry, you're my boyfriend. I said that out loud, and you guys all looked at me like, this is the crazy girl that goes mad when her boyfriend dies. Like, this is her right here. But I thought that was so sweet.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And the ugly sweater.
It's a good
great Twitter. Mm-hmm. In the interest of time, we didn't need to now move into the Wally West storyline.
Yes, please.
It's kicked off for me the Barry Iris talk. I bring it up because I really missed their closeness, and just seeing them have this like personal conversation, I felt like a part of me coming back to the show, being like, yes, this is what I've been looking for this season, and like they gave it to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it could have been incredibly awkward with Patty and Barry and Iris looking in, but Iris is just so respectful of it and was very sweet and open.
Yeah, and while we love all the characters, the Siskos and the Caitlins, and that's a core unit of the show, this is the family unit. It's Iris, it's Barry, and it's Joe, and like we got a lot of that tonight.
Yeah. Huge, huge shout out to Candace Patton for tonight's episode. I thought that her performance it blew me away.
Yeah, she crushed
it. She did.
I didn't even know that this was something that was inside of her. I thought that she was flawless.
Yeah.
And when she was talking to Barry and when she was talking to Joe, I thought she was truly incredible.
Yeah.
I thought Joe was great tonight as well.
He was.
Like the way that the arc they gave him, you know, with finding out that he had a son.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was, and then giving Barry the watch at that point.
Yeah. That was
really
incredible.
Interesting, and I wonder how that's going to play out as we get to meet Wally more. But then when Wally turned up at the door and the look on father and sister's faces, I mean,
yeah,
I think that they made a really strange directorial decision with Joe though, when finally they do, Iris tells him and he goes to face the window and faces away from her, which is something very typical we see on TV and movies, and he has that moment to the window. I don't think they trusted him enough in that moment. He's so brilliantly talented. I wanted to see him, even if he wasn't connecting with Iris, disconnecting with her, but instead to have him towards the window, it didn't sit with me the way that I wanted it to. It was such a weird time to turn away and to have like this monologue towards the window.
Right. Well, we saw that too with Barry, the monologuing to Harrison Wells through the window.
Well, that was a little different because he was staring through. Yeah. I thought that was...
You liked that?
I loved that. Yeah, I loved that moment.
But he was having, like, that inner dialogue, but, like, spoken. Honestly, like, the show goes cheesy because it's a comic book, and I love that about it, but this was too cheesy in, like, an unjustified way for
that
me.
That worked for me.
Really?
Interesting.
Oh, it really didn't work. What did you think of that
scene? I was hoping that he could hear him the whole time.
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did hear him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that would have been... That would have made it interesting enough... For me to, I mean, I thought it was a vehicle. To me, it was a vehicle to hear him talk about it. I agree that it takes it to another level. But if it was more direct, I think I would have got more out of it.
Yeah, it's just a level of camp that we've been seeing.
Regardless though, if you liked that actual through the glass kind of thing, how did you feel that he did finally say, I forgive you?
It didn't affect me.
That was a huge moment for me. I've been waiting for Barry to realize that somebody else telling you you'll never be happy is not the same thing as never being happy. And he's using that as like this dead weight that he's carrying around, and I just want him to fly.
Solid performance too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was a good performance.
He did bring it. Like
amazing performances tonight, all around. I really thought
so.
And I know we only saw Wally West for like 5 seconds.
Well, you have to hear from Michael Drew because this is his Flash. He talks about it all the time.
Yes.
This is your Flash. All right,
what'd you think?
It was just when the door knocked. Like I stopped at the thing. I was like, wait a second.
He
opened, I was like, it was just so like, what an awesome entrance. He only said a few words, but I was like, damn. It's a good ass actor, this kid.
Oh yeah,
this kid can act.
What do we know about him? Do we know who is this guy? Like a newcomer? I don't know anything.
He was
about.
In Divergent, right? Was that, is that the film he was in?
In
terms of the actor?
Yeah.
I think he was in Divergent.
Okay,
but he was in one of those, you know, Hunger Games, new movies.
No, yeah, I think he was not Hunger Games, the Insurgent Divergent, the Shailene Woodley series. I think I remember. Yeah.
I just could see a young actor getting that scene and being like, "I'm being reunited by my father. I'm gonna be crying. I'm gonna choose some scenery. I'm gonna like twirl my mustache." Yeah. But it was like so subtle.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Yeah,
it really was. And he didn't show up really expecting anything. Mm-hmm. I liked not just the character choices, but the written word, and that I thought it was really strong.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And just the awkwardness that surrounded the scene, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
the way Joe reacted, Joe was like speechless. Oh, it was great.
It was fantastic.
Best moment of the entire series.
Oh, strong words.
Gauntlet is thrown down.
Guys, I hate to cut us off. We are almost out of time. We have to now talk about Dr. Zoom. Wait, sorry. Is Dr. Zoom?
Zoom.
It should be Dr. Zoom.
Yeah, it should be Dr. Zoom.
Yeah.
Get that doctor costume. We talked about Zoom
still
and
still writing his dissertation.
And finding out that Zoom 1 is trying to like engage the Speed Force and Barry, make him stronger, and then steal his power. And now Harrison Wells is on board. What do we think?
The day that he finally forgives him, the day that Barry looks at him and forgives him, is the day that he's going to betray Barry. This is brutal. I don't know what to think.
It's completely set up that way.
Uh-huh.
It's completely set up that way. He's finally going to trust him. He forgives him. He's like, we're friends. Stabs him right in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly set up that way. It's going to suck.
Tari, so much attitude.
No, because it's sad. Because Barry doesn't trust easy, especially this whole season. He spent like really trying to trust people and get back in the throngs of like working as a team. And the moment he trusts this guy, he just turns away from him. And it's like he would have been so much more successful if he had trusted Barry and the team. But now he's going on Zoom side.
But the dramatic irony is so good, because we know that it's for the only reason that it is justifiable.
Right.
The human reason for him is so strong, and they really showed that by having her right in front of him, her taken away again. And it's like, well, we feel sorry for him. So we don't know. So that's really good.
That's a great point, because that's a major difference between old Harrison Wells, who's only out for himself. This guy's trying to save his daughter.
Which is something that Barry, at the end of the day, will understand.
So it changes the dynamic.
I think, absolutely.
And we're waiting to now find out, when does Barry find out? How does he find out?
Yeah.
For how long is it a mystery?
And I know that this Harrison Wells is stubborn, but I couldn't help but think during that scene that had he opened up and told Barry and the group what was going on, that they could have saved the daughter.
Why doesn't he?
Because
Zoom is beating the crap out of Barry. Like, well, I mean, he
probably fears for his daughter's life if he shares the information.
Yeah, there's just such a comfortability in with Zoom and Wells. I really just want to know, like, why.
Yeah, and what happened there? It's a big question, especially because when he says tonight to Jesse, we were talking about this before, like, leave her out of it. She didn't do anything. What did you do, Wells?
Yeah,
what,
I know.
And Wells talking to Zoom, Wells is not scared of Zoom. Wells is scared of, like, what Zoom will do to his daughter. But he's like, you know, one-on-one, like, they're not upset.
Does he know who's behind the mask?
Maybe he made Zoom.
I mean, I think that's what Jay Garrick had originally said, is that Zoom was a result of of Wells' work.
No, I mean, like authentically, not even like you know,
Frankenstein.
Yeah, like Frankenstein. Like he made Zoom.
Yes,
I think he made
that's
him.
I think that's valid, especially since we had the whole thing with the Velocity 6, and there were 5 failures, and it would explain why Jay was so adamant about not using it, because essentially it could have created Zoom.
We could continue discussion for so long, and we want to online, on the YouTube comments, you can tweet us. Does anybody have any dire predictions they need to get off their chest before January 12th or 19th when we get back? January 19th.
Yeah, then I'm going to go watch This Isn't Funny again. Just saying.
Hey-o.
On iTunes. Cool. Guys, tell us where we can find you until then on Twitter.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Strider, and please keep the conversation going because you know this is my favorite show, and I will die without you guys.
You can find me at Tauri J. It's DauriJay, and I will miss you.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL. Happy holidays.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at JeffMasters1. What about you, Paul?
I'm Paul Ashton. I'm at Captain Pash, CaptainPash, and at _thisisn'tfunny_ for the movie. If you want to tweet us, you can find This Isn't Funny on iTunes right now, and Amazon, and Google Play, and all of those. Thanks so much for having me here, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Real pleasure.
And
Merry Christmas.
Danielle Panabaker for calling in.
Thank you, Danielle.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.